Huzzah, and welcome to Knights of the Hardcover, Side Quest Edition, where we talk about fantasy lore and all the things that we love about them. On these side quests, we generally just talk about whatever we feel like talking about for the week. So this week, we got some fantasy news updates, and then Mount Rushmore to top it all off. As always, I am Brandon, your Jarl of the West Coast, and joining me today is Bing Bong, it's Chris Lauer.
Hey guys, I wanted to mention, last week, or a couple weeks ago, I guess, I did that Bing Bong, and I know everybody loved it. It's a hit. It's a hit for the listeners. I just wanted to say the Knicks are still in the playoffs, 1-1 with the Miami Heat right now. So we're in a battle. We're hoping to win. I'll update you guys next time. Let's go. Bing Bong.
Thank you. That was a much more civilized Bing Bong this time. And more importantly, the Kraken are still in the playoffs, and the world's biggest Kraken fan, it's Zach Mysick.
just like Austin Butler in Dune 2, I did shave my head to be here.
Whoa. Ah, on topic. Look at that. Had an intro and everything. My God, we're
evolving. Let's go, Zach, preparing for the intro today.
I tried.
Evolving as a podcast. This is great. Well, thank you everyone for joining us today. As I said, we're going to be just talking generally about a few topics that are happening in the fantasy world. And then we're going to hit a Mount Rushmore of our favorite magic systems from mostly fantasy books, but there might be some other stuff thrown in there too. Start things off today. There's a Dune trailer that came out, guys. Did you watch it?
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir.
I was pretty impressed with it. I mean, I figured it was going to be beautiful. I figured it was going to look great. I figured it was going to have a lot of cool scenes, but it was very impressive overall. What'd you guys think?
Yeah, I'll start off with a negative. I had one major issue with this trailer, which I liked. They showed Paul mounting the worm
the whole scene
trailer.
The whole fucking scene.
Yeah, they showed the whole... They even made a little story out of it. They're like, Paul, don't get too fancy. Paul's like, I won't. And he does, and he rides... I didn't necessarily think he got too fancy. But he rode the worm, and it's like, isn't this one of the major parts of part two of Dune? The fact that he can do this? I couldn't believe they just put the whole thing in the trailer.
The thing I was looking forward to most about the second movie, actually, was him riding the worm for the first time. And, well, already seen it, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. I was totally surprised it did that. And it did feel a little Marvel-y with the whole don't show off. Oh, I never, no, I won't. And then it cuts to him showing off, and it's like, I didn't really care for that that part of it. Hopefully it plays better, in the actual movie. But that was probably my low light.
Was he even showing off though? What did he do that was more fancy than anybody else that rides one of these things? All he did was ride it.
Yeah, right? I guess we'll have to watch the movie. It seemed like he did jump from the sand dune, guess. And I don't know. He probably got a little theatrical with it.
Yeah, I'm sure he did somehow.
Yeah, but besides that, I like the rest of it. We got a lot of Florence Pugh, which I liked.
I didn't even know she was going to be in the movie. Seeing Flo, I was exhilarated. I was not expecting Flo in Dune Part 2.
Yeah.
Flo, who's Flo? What's Flo?
Florence Pugh.
Florence Pugh?
Oh, that's her name is Flo? Okay.
Yeah.
What's she been in? Anything I would know?
Oh boy. Oh boy.
What has Florence Pugh been in?
Yeah.
I don't know. A lot of stuff.
She's been in Midsommar. That was one for
Midsommar. She's in Black Widow.
Black Widow.
Oh,
she was in Hawkeye. Okay. She was in Little Drummer Girl. She's in a lot of things.
And she's the one playing Princess Arulin, right? In the trailer.
Sure.
That's what it looks like.
I think
no clue.
She's playing a princess. I don't know.
She's
don't know
playing the person that said, what if Paul Atreides is still alive in the trailer?
Okay, yeah, it's definitely Princess Arulin then. I was wondering who was going to play that. So pretty pumped about that one.
Yeah.
Who was the guy? Oh, Austin.
Austin Butler.
Butler, yeah.
Austin Butler.
Elvis.
And he's playing one of the Harkonnens. His scenes, what they showed from it, really seemed I don't know, Thor, Love and Thunder, the bad guy in that at the end, where they do like the black and white scenes. It seems a lot of that vibe going on in there.
I wanted to mention the black and white. Like, I know the Harkonnen world is supposed to be very drab. I think it's a fun pick. I think it's a fun choice that they're going to film all that in black and white.
Yeah.
I am pumped. The Harkonnens looked incredible in this. Stellan Skarsgård, when they showed him as the actual Baron, like in the, it just looked perfect. God, it looks great. I'm very excited for him.
Yeah. Yeah. They also, I feel like they captured the feeling of like reading the end of the book. Cause when they showed like Rebecca, Timothée Chalamet or Paul's mom and like her get up, like that was kind of like the vibe that I was feeling when I was like reading the book. Like, what the hell's going on? Like when she's all dressed up and tattooed and just looking super weird. It was like, that's like the total vibe I had while like reading the last half of the Dune.
Yeah, it definitely took on a little bit of a trippier vibe in this one, it looks like, which is much needed because it gets pretty wild towards the end here. I can't wait for, oh my God, Dune Messiah. For the third movie is going to be.
I was going to say, do you think we're going to get one?
I don't know really how they can make it like.
I don't think so.
For the masses necessarily, because it is just a wild book.
I'd be surprised.
That's the plan.
Is it?
That's the plan.
The plan is a Dune Messiah. Yeah, a plan is like a trilogy: Dune Part One, Part Two, and then Dune Messiah.
So they're really going all in on, like, Paul is not the good guy in this story. Like, they're going to go for it.
Yeah, I guess. I never read Dune Messiah, so I don't know. When his, like, 2-year-old daughter became, like, the queen of the witches or whatever, I kind of...
Right.
Jump off.
The you mean his are sister you fucking... or his daughter?
Yeah. Awesome. I don't know.
His sister.
Yeah. I stopped sniffing the spices at that point.
It's what's her name? What the hell is Paul's sister's name?
I don't remember.
Oh my God, this is gonna kill me.
Alice.
Oh, yeah.
Aaliyah.
Yeah, I can't. I mean, she better be in this shit. She's the best. I can't wait to see her
pop out. Like, what are they gonna do? Is it gonna be like a CGI baby that like talks, or how are they gonna do that?
It's gonna be like Twilight. Have you ever seen the Twilight baby?
Yeah, no. But the Twilight baby at this point looks terrible.
I mean, it always looks terrible.
Well,
Brandon Google Twilight baby.
Twilight.
It's like Rasmussen. It's something like Ramis. I don't know her name.
Yeah, it's
What the fuck?
Yeah, I don't remember what it was called.
Whoa,
Renesmee.
Yeah, Renesmee.
That's what it is. Oh, I should put Twilight on my magic system. I definitely got to get Twilight on my Mount Rushmore magic system.
Oh, of course. What the hell? Who designed this baby? This is the actual... I don't know if you guys knew this. This was their first iteration of Grogu from Mandalorian. This horrifying child.
Brandon, are you caught up on Succession?
I am, yes.
Okay. I saw a funny tweet that was like, Shiv's baby... And there's a photo of that because Shiv's been like drinking and everything these last like few episodes while she's pregnant.
Oh man, that's great.
No, she hasn't been drinking. She has not been drinking.
She's been faking the drinking.
She has had drinks in her hand. She has not been drinking.
So she just like puts up to her lips and just let it like touch her lips and then put it back down.
That's the thought, yeah.
Yeah, that's what the thinking is. And then she faked doing drugs too. With
yeah.
I noticed like the fake coke, but I didn't know.
I thought
she was, like,
did that though. I thought it was Molly because she had this line to Tom. She said something about Molly and about how his shoes were too white. So that made me think that she did do it, and it was Molly and not coke. But I don't know. I'd have to rewatch it.
She's just trying to be cool. But anyways, what were we talking about? Dune?
Very excited.
Great.
I did like the trailer. I just thought it showed a lot.
Yeah.
I'm getting a little sick of these 2.5 minute trailers. Just give me like 30 seconds. That's all I need. Just give me a commercial.
We also got a 10-second trailer the day before this trailer as a trailer for the trailer.
Yeah.
Really? I didn't see that one.
Yeah. It was just the thumper. It was just the person putting the thumper down. And then it was like trailer tomorrow. All right.
Hey, the thumpers looked great, though.
The thumpers did look great. I really like the thumper design.
Yeah. Spooky.
Man, we might have to do a Dune reread before that movie comes out.
Oh, that'd be fun, actually.
It's time for my yearly reread of that book, so.
Yeah.
We can get
2001 right after.
The book?
Yeah.
It's my favorite book.
I know. That's why I said it.
How 9,000 right there. Yeah. Sorry, it just got me so excited. No one ever talks about 2001 anymore since it's like 50 years old. So every time I hear it, I'm just like, oh, man.
Yeah.
It's special to me. Okay, anyways, other things going on. I guess we'll just move down the list here. Writer's strike took place or is taking place now for Hollywood writers. Looks like a lot of the late night shows or the weekly shows that are coming out have all ceased whatever production on their shows now, which honestly, who cares on those ones? But yeah, the writer strike, seemingly it's about pay, like most strikes are. Yeah. But it's the amount of days they have to work. It's kind of their contracts with these production companies. And then it's what the executives make compared to what the writers make, who are actually the talent that drive people to those shows. Seems to be kind of the main issues. I haven't read up too much on it. Is there anything more in depth with that, than that?
I saw a good TikTok about it, I think, where this writer was saying like one of the biggest issues right now is that traditionally, a writer would write, say, a pilot, and a studio would film the pilot, and then they would greenlight it for series. And at that point, you would hire a writer's room. And when you hire a writer's room, you fill that writer's room with three groups of people: your really experienced writers, your medium experienced writers, and your brand new up and comers, like the people that you're giving a shot, like this is their entry into the industry. And a big change that the studios are pushing for is they want to do, instead of the pilot to series structure, they've started to try to do, okay, yeah, you did this pilot, we liked it, we want three more episodes. So then that writer would hire a crew for just three more episodes instead of an entire writer's room. And the stakes are really high, because if you don't get those three episodes, you might not get the rest of your series. So you're not going to hire the new guys, the medium guys. You're only going to hire the most experienced, the best, for this smaller group of writers to do, say, the three episodes instead of the full series. So you have these like micro writers' rooms that are not conducive to new writers. And that's a big issue for the writers, because now you're taking away the entry point for the new writers. And I hadn't heard that. I thought that was very interesting. I obviously don't have an answer to the issue here, but seems like a compelling issue.
Man, streaming is really turning out to just ruin everything. They need so much content that they have to have like this test and churn method of these new shows, and that's just like, fuck that, man. We have enough new shows coming out as is. Like, let's just focus on quality instead of quantity. But there's 400 streaming services. Oh, what?
Brandon, you disagree? The stock market, baby. You have to prove growth.
Good point.
It doesn't matter that they're making money. You have to
profits.
You have to prove to Wall Street. That's why like Warner Bros. Is like, yeah, there'll be 10 years of Harry Potter, you know, for like the stock market, you know, to get them going. But no, I've heard that too, like what Chris said too. Also, like residuals are like no longer a thing. Like back in the day, you know, for like sitcoms and stuff, anytime it would air on TV, you get paid. If you're a writer, you still get paid for like Friends reruns on TBS. But there's no such thing as residuals when it comes to streaming. So you may have written for House of Cards, you're not seeing a penny for that anymore. Mm. You know, because you don't get those residuals. And they don't know like viewership. Like streaming companies are so private when it comes to how many people watched it, when, how successful is it. So even if you did write on like a hit show like Wednesday, like you have like no metrics or anything like that to show more eyeballs, or you don't get paid more than that. Also, AI is a big thing too. I guess the Writers Guild, like, they pitched AI as like, of course you're not gonna do HR, like AI rights, like it's not nearly as good, it could be dangerous, like you're gonna need some human involvement, like this is something that we can agree on. And the studios were immediately like, no, like that's not even gonna be a part of the negotiation, us like not using AI. So the Writers Guild was kind of took a step back, like what? Like they did a hard no of AI even being like included in negotiation. Mm-hmm. So it seems like the studios are like full go on like using AI to like write scripts and to pitch like ideas and all that stuff too. So it's like another big thing that the writers are kind of re-energized about, because they didn't realize like AI would be like this huge of an issue like already. And yeah. I guess that's not even like a non-starter for these streaming companies.
Man, guys, how great is free market capitalism? Isn't it just, it's really, that trickle-down economics is really paying off for everybody now. The invisible hand, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, when was it supposed to trickle? Is that the next 2 years that the trickle starts? Is that what it was?
I think they said a 50-year trickle, so we're looking at around 2029. It's going to start trickling. Yeah.
And then, I forgot it was FYT. That was like the acronym back then. Okay, my bad.
Yeah.
I just need like these tech bros to like get a new hobby.
Yeah, we don't need AI. Fucking enough.
AI, the crypto shit, the NFTs, the whatever else, like things that they're coming up with to like ruin rainforests. Like, just relax. Like, do something else.
Yeah, like
I say this as a guy with a podcast.
We're part of the problem, guys. Yeah. All 24 of our followers are like, they're really looking for us to lead the way. So we gotta take down capitalism on this podcast. The point of AI, isn't the point of AI so that eventually none of us has to work and then we can all just pursue our dreams? Wasn't that like
writing?
30. I mean, if you look at any science fiction book from like the 50s through the 90s, it's all about like creating AI and then you make this absolutely utopian universe. And then like, when does that shit start happening? Do we have to start like executing some like senators or something? Does that, when that starts happening, or like, what's the process here?
Oh no.
I'm just maybe kidding.
Maybe cut.
We got
that.
A list.
Yeah. Just
no,
kidding.
We don't.
I'm just.
Yeah. Just cut that.
We do.
Yeah. Yeah. I have no clue how that works.
Yeah. Well, I would say in general, I support the writers, but I also like watching TV. So let's get this resolved, guys. Not the writers, the studios. Come on. Studios. Let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to shut down production on a lot of things.
Fortunately, most of the stuff for 2023 probably is already done and written. So at least that's a good thing.
Yeah, they just can't like touch it though. That's the thing. Like House of the Dragon is filming season 2.
Oh, usually my God, you have to think about that.
Yeah, or like Andor right now is filming. So it's like usually you have like a writer on sets because you know it might read differently while you're actually filming it. So you need someone to tweak it, but you can't like tweak it. Or like after you film it, if you have to do like pickups or ADR to get like better. You know, a better line reading or whatever, or do some exposition. You can't do any of that. So at least like, they can like film it, but yeah, it'll be difficult.
Interesting. Well, yeah, like Chris said, let's figure this out. Just give the fucking writers some more money. Just pay the fucking people. How many yachts does one guy need? You'll still have a couple yachts. Just fucking, you can't drive them all at once. Fuck.
Make another Mario movie. And then use the profits for that to
get
them for the next 10 years.
You need to write anything for that.
Yeah, Warner Bros. Keeps changing their fucking streaming service so much. Just up it by a buck or something. Come on, figure it out.
Oh, they will. They will.
Yeah. Oh, that'll be next. They'll pay the writers more, but it'll fall on us to pay them. So
yeah,
that's how it always goes. Well, that was depressing. Let's move on to something a little happier. Mandalorian season 3 just finished.
Happier? That's the word you're using to segue us into Mandalorian talk?
I thought it was fine.
Okay. Happier might not be the right word, but less depressing. Well, fuck.
I don't know. I didn't watch it, but it didn't seem like people cared for it.
Yeah, so it's not necessarily happy. It's not necessarily depressing, but it wasn't the greatest season of television I've ever seen. It's just a lot of the storylines didn't come to fruition or just didn't make sense, or it's just seeming more and more with every episode of that show I watch. It's just a vehicle to sell toys. That's all it seems like now. And that's fine if that's what they want to do with the show, but it's like the only good Star Wars property they have currently running. And then they just, besides Bad Batch is okay, but and then they just don't do anything with it. They don't do anything exciting. They threw in Jack Black and Lizzo to try to get younger people into it. It's like, I just don't know. A lot of questionable decisions this season.
Zach. That Darksaber is definitely coming back.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you're okay with spoilers, but apparently so.
Yeah,
the Darksaber being broken was the stupidest shit I've ever seen in my life. Like, Moff Gideon's entire drive, we have no idea what any of his motivations are besides that he wants the Darksaber. The second he gets his hand on the Darksaber, he's like, yeah, fuck that, crush, done, and then dies. And it's just like, what? And then this whole 2.5 seasons have been leading up to, like, what are they doing with the clones? What are they doing with the clones? We see what they're doing with the clones. They all die immediately. So all his clones are gone. Darksaber's gone. It's like, why was Moff Gideon in the show in the first place then? He was a terrible villain. Like, what is a villain without a motivation for why they're doing the villainous things? I don't know. That's my thoughts. Chris?
I love it. You know, I tell you what, I think I said this last pod as well, but nothing changed about the show between seasons 2 and 3. It's the same show. Like, it never made sense. None of the characters' motivations make any sense, and they never did. And so that's my whole take with it. It's just like, it's fine now. It was fine then. It's an animated show that they made live action. You know, it's like, it's the same with Clone Wars. Like, you don't want to dig in too hard into any motivation or any plot line, because that's not the point.
But that's what Clone Wars did really well, was they found they gave us the motivation for the characters that we never would get a motivation for. You know, they'd give us a 3 side quest of, I don't know, Quinlan Voss, and with a character that we knew nothing about besides from Legends books, but they'd be like, hey, this guy's awesome. We'll show you some of his motivation for why he's a Jedi or why he's doesn't like the Jedi. I don't know.
Sure, but you just can't expect that motivation to translate over like season to season, like, because Quinlan Voss is only going to do what makes sense for whatever they want to say in that specific episode. And that's all it ever was, you know? Like, if they decided, oh, we're going to do a 3 episode arc about Quinlan Voss, that's fine. But the next time they do another 3 episode arc about Quinlan Voss, you might as well throw out everything, because it doesn't matter.
Well, and that's what I feel like that's what they did, is they threw out everything. I feel like the second that Boba Fett turned into a shit show when they were filming that, they're like, okay, we got to have Grogu and, you know, did in this. So they took the first two episodes. Did. What's that?
They have to have Grogu and Din.
Well, so
that's the best part of the show.
Yeah, exactly. They had to do it. So they took the first 2 episodes of this season, put them in there, and they're like, what the fuck do we do for this season? Oh, you just have Din do some cool stuff. But then the studio execs were like, studio execs again, you motherfuckers. They were like, well, we can't take Grogu out of an entire season. Like, how are we going to sell all of our toys? Let's put him back in there, rewrite the season. And then I feel like that's what happened. And it just fucking turned into a mess of, like, I don't know, random shit happening basically for 8 episodes straight. It wasn't bad. I'm not saying it was horrible by any means. It just didn't really make any sense. And it was like, why did I spend 8 hours watching this? Like, I didn't get enough enjoyment out of it to justify that.
Yeah. I think it's just diminishing returns.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I'm right. And like, I don't know. I don't want to keep going on this, but like,
what did we like about it? Grogu. Still the fucking best. Still love watching Grogu coo and woo and yee and whatever. I don't give a shit what he does. Whatever he does is great. I love everything about Grogu. And they better not make a Mandalorian season without him, because I'm not watching it.
Well, and Grogu in the mech suit with the no, no, no. I mean, that was a fantastic scene.
Yes.
Incredible. Grogu and Din fighting like back to back, with Din shooting and Grogu using the force to like deflect guys out of the way. Awesome.
That was good. Well choreographed.
The Red Guards was awesome. Like, all that was really cool. there was some really, really cool stuff in that last episode. The stormtroopers, the flying stormtroopers versus the Mandalorians, that shit rocked. All of it was so cool. Who was the other spy? That episode, like two, three episodes before, was called The Spies. Who the fuck were the spies? There was never a spy.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. I feel like I've just like conditioned myself to not care about that kind of stuff with these shows. It just doesn't like, it's all woo woo. It's all nothing. It could all be explained away. It doesn't matter.
But like the show started out as something for kids and adults. There are some like complex thoughts in there for the adults to kind of mill over, and then this, you know, just stupid shit that happens for kids to enjoy. And then it's just slowly turned more and more into a kid's show. And that's fine if that's what they're shooting for and that's their motivation. That's great. But they can't have this being the driving force of all Star Wars universe and then make it a kid's show, which is what it seemed like this season. So
it's so funny. I just feel like I liked this more as a driving force for the Star Wars universe going forward.
Interesting.
Yeah, because that's just how I viewed it. I was like, oh, I liked like the random episode with the doctor and that chick. Like that was probably my favorite episode, you know, because it's expanding on the lore. It's doing the same thing that the animated shows did. It's just like, now we're going to expand. Like we're going to fill in the blanks for the movies or whatever. And I'm fine with that. I know some people aren't. That doesn't bother me. I'm more interested in a show called The Mandalorian that's going to expand on the Star Wars lore moving into the sequel movies than I am watching just like the Mandalorians, like rebuilding Mandalore or whatever. I'm not super interested in that.
Fair enough. I just, with that episode that you're talking about on Coruscant, like it never led to anything. Nothing ever came from that. We had a 50-minute episode that led to nothing ever happening, and it only expanded the universe in the fact that we knew that there was a rehabilitation project for post-imperial agents. That was the only thing it expanded on. So that was like, I'm fine if they want to do that shit, but it needs to do it and then like have it matter in the long run. I don't want them just to do shit just to do it.
I think that's the plan in the long run for the Mandalorian, is to be that Clone Wars bridge. That'd be my guess.
Probably. Well, anyways, Zach, I wouldn't recommend you watch it because I don't think you're going to like it. So,
Yeah. I'm kind of at peace with that decision. I was feeling that way, like season one, even. There were some episodes where I was just like, this isn't made for me. I feel like the pressure, because everyone in the world was talking about it. But I feel like this season, at least in my bubble, the noise like stopped. Like the first couple of seasons, I had to like go out of my way to make sure I didn't get spoilers, and multiple people would ask me if I watched it. Season three, like I had to like be like, huh, let me like listen to a specific pod to like hear what happened. Like I didn't get any spoilers. I didn't feel like the pressure to like have to keep up with it.
Well, I mean,
like everyone just dropped off.
I feel like Aaron's a good indicator on some of the stuff like that, of like how relevant this is to the wider populace, because she doesn't give a fuck about Star Wars, but she watches every episode with me. And that after every episode, she's like, why am I still watching this? This is bad now. And so it's like, I think they've lost a lot of the, I don't know, the fringes now. So
yeah, I think you're right.
But sticking in the Disney world, we have another MCU release this weekend. We have Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. Had some good reviews coming in so far. I'm pretty excited to see it. I'm going to actually return to the movie theaters to see an MCU film for the first time in a while. So I'm looking forward to it. You guys going to see it?
Maybe. Like, I don't know. I have no desire to like lead the charge on that. If someone asked me to see it, then I would. But I haven't seen Ant-Man. I haven't seen Black Panther. I'm just kind of needing like a little bit of a break from it. And Guardians 2 wasn't like my favorite movie. And I heard that this movie, people liked it, but it was pretty like weird. And I don't know if I need like MCU weird right
those
now.
Those are my favorite ones. Thor Ragnarok's my favorite MCU movie because that is just the craziest shit. So
yeah, that was fine. But like God and Thunder wasn't good.
Oh yeah, I liked it more than most people. I think it was fucking out there and didn't make a whole lot of sense, but I liked it still. I thought it was a fun movie.
Yeah, I'll go see it. I'm excited for it. I think it'll be good. I don't know how out of the way I don't know how out of my way I will go to see it. But I will probably go see it in theaters. I'm really excited about what I've heard about Rocket storyline in this. I've heard that his storyline is pretty fleshed out and the movie's almost kind of about Rocket more than anybody else. And I think that's really interesting. I've always been interested in his backstory, and I know that his backstory is supposed to be a part of this movie. So I'm curious about how a raccoon turned into, you know, one of the smartest people in the universe. So I think that'll be interesting. I also heard it's quite an emotional movie. I love emotional movies, a movie that can make me cry. That's a movie that I'll put high on my list. And I've heard that about all these things. So good reviews will get me into the theater.
Yeah, like you said, not going to go out of my way. But, you know, if I have a free Saturday morning in the next few weeks, I'll definitely go check it out. So
yeah, nice matinee.
Yeah, for sure. Also, Rocket is one of the few backstories I actually know in the MCU. And so he does have a very cool backstory. So I'm excited to hear that that's included in this. Cool. Yeah.
Nice. Do you think they're going to change it much from the comics to the movie?
I mean, they probably have to, because there's a few things that aren't.
Well, they usually keep the bones, you know.
No, they'll keep the bones.
The important parts they keep.
There's a couple parts that aren't in the MCU yet, I believe, if I'm remembering correctly. So they'll omit that stuff, but I think overall it probably will stay the same.
Gotcha.
Sticking in the MCU, there's a lot of early talks about the Fantastic Four movie coming out, and there's been a rumor, and it's just a rumor, so, you know, whatever, take this with a grain of salt, but they're talking about Adam Driver playing Mr. Fantastic. So curious to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah. Wow. Adam Driver. I love Adam Driver. I think he's a great actor. I thought he was awesome as Kylo Ren. Best part of the sequels by a mile.
For sure.
Can he do it? Yeah, I think so. I think it's always the casting choices where you have to think about it for a second are usually some of the best casting choices, like Pattinson as Batman, you know, that kind of thing. What do you guys think?
Zach?
I think I'm okay. Like, I'll say this. I like the idea of him doing this more than the rumor of him playing Snape. I'll say that. But I don't think I want him like locked into another like 10-year IP franchise thing. I'd rather have him do some like Marriage Story, like that kind of stuff. Yeah. And I don't know if you've heard like the rumors for like the other people.
Oh, I haven't.
Sue? Yeah, who's Sue? Who's the Sue rumor?
The Sue rumor is Margot.
Yes, I have heard that. Yeah, which I think is fine.
Yeah. And then the Torch.
So this is going to be a flop, is what you're saying? Already sold as a flop. All right.
Well, it's a fucking Fantastic Four movie, so what else is it going to do?
Yeah, true.
Yeah. Human Torch, the rumor is Paul Mescal.
Oh, nice. Hell yeah.
I don't know that name off the top of my head.
He's the guy that I rave about every other episode.
Oh, yeah, you do. Okay, this guy. I don't know if I've seen him in anything yet, but yeah, okay. I'm familiar with him.
Yeah, watch Normal People. I mean, I love him. It's another Adam Driver situation where I'm like, do I want him locked into the MCU for the next 10 years?
Yeah.
I have the exact same thoughts as you on this, Zach. Like, I just want to see Adam Driver do other things. We don't need our best actors all in the MCU. Like, I want to see other movies besides MCU movies all the fucking time. And if they're locked into a, you know, like you said, like a 10-year contract with this shit, and the only way we get to see Adam Driver is through Reed Richards. Like, I'm not that excited about that. Also, What the fuck is everyone's obsession with Margot Robbie? Jesus Christ. What? She's like, hasn't done anything that's that good. Why is everyone so obsessed with her all of a sudden?
She's good.
Have you seen Wolf of Wall Street?
She's great in Wolf of Wall Street.
Fine. Definitely
she was
fine.
Great in The Big Short.
She's fine in that.
She was great in the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Sorry.
I, Tonya.
I haven't seen that one.
People liked her as Harley.
She was a good Harley Quinn. I'll give her that.
And then we have fucking Barbie coming up.
Hell yeah. Let's go.
I already forgot that that's coming out. The only time I'm ever thinking about that movie is the 2 hours that we podcast together.
Brandon, have you seen
the
red carpet photo of, what's his name?
Jake Gyllenhaal.
No.
Not Jake Gyllenhaal.
I've seen that one, yeah.
Ryan Gosling.
Have you seen the red carpet photo of Ryan Gosling on the Barbie premiere?
No.
Look it up real quick, and then I'll tell you something, and I think you're going to like it.
All right.
It's a photo of him holding open his shirt or whatever, and it says like Barbie on it or something like that.
Oh, yeah. I think I have seen that. Yeah.
All right. Now, that right there is Adolin Colin. Tell me I'm wrong. That photo of Ryan Gosling.
Who's Adolin Colin?
Adolin Colin?
Oh! Sorry. Yeah, except he's like 30 years
old. He's too old. Throw that out the window. But just look, his vibe, his hair, the whole deal. To me, that's what I see as Adolin.
I could see that, yeah.
That was a bit of a sidetrack. Anyway, Margot Robbie, love her. She's great.
She's like once said, she's fine. I want to see a fucking, we talked about this before we started. I was talking about Iron Man. I just rewatched it recently and how great it was. And that was taking Robert Downey Jr., who was a big actor, but had just completely fallen off the map because of his alcoholism. And then they brought in his cocaine addiction and they brought him back to stardom and made him this incredible star. I want to see them start doing that shit. Now, every time I see that they have a bunch of big stars in something, I assume it's just going to be a pile of shit because it usually is. I want to see them find a couple actors that are a little less known or maybe aren't in the... It seems like we have like four actors that are in everything. It's like Adam Driver, Margot Robbie, and Pedro Pascal. And that's like the three actors that work consistently. And everyone else just kind of like does plays or something. I don't know what they fucking do, but like I'm fucking sick of this. Like, let's pack it with stars and then we'll figure out the script later. Like, I don't know.
But Pedro, I feel like Pedro's a bad example because Pedro, he's new on the scene. The only reason Pedro's even in this conversation is because of the new stuff he's been in, like Last of Us and Mandalorian. Those are new things. Before that, I mean, when he was cast in Game of Thrones, he's a completely unknown.
And can you even say he was in The Mandalorian? He wasn't on set at all in the third season.
His voice.
Yeah, he just like used his voice. So okay. I think Brandon is saying he wants Amanda Bynes as Storm.
Let's go. Bring back Amanda. And
well, you're saying, you're talking about how like Robbie Downey Jr. was like super famous and then went off the deep end and like brought him back.
Yeah, it's a cool story.
Yeah.
I don't know. The MCU's gotten too big now. And so now they can just throw around money and be like, get whoever they want. And I think that really hurts them in the long run because you have four people that are all trying to fight for screen time. And it's all about the individual performance and not about the cohesiveness between the four, 10 of them working together. I don't know. I haven't seen anything that's had a star-studded cast that's been good in quite a while. So I don't know. That's kind of how I feel about it. Unless it's like a, I don't know, Hateful Eight or something like that.
Yeah. But I think Marvel casting isn't like too bad. I mean, the last couple new properties is Shang-Chi. I didn't know who he was at all or some of those supporting characters. I mean, they had some big names in it, but like the main character, I didn't know who he was. Some like Eternals, there's like some like you can recognize the names, but
Eternals is a fucking star-studded pack right there.
Besides Angelina Jolie, who else is Angelina Jolie and Penelope Cruz? Who else and is like, the star-studded?
And Kumar, the guy from
an HBO Silicon Valley show from ten years ago.
He's been in like 5-10 movies since then.
I don't think he's like a big name.
I think most people would probably disagree with you on that one.
Or Richard Madison.
Kumail Nanjiani?
People know him, but he's not like in the same breath as Angelina Jolie and Penelope Cruz.
Yeah, because Angelina's the biggest movie star of like maybe the last 30 years.
Yeah, but like everyone else, but you have the lady who played Cersei, Gemma Chang. It's like people kind of know her, but probably not the general audience. Richard Madison, people kind of know him from like the first couple seasons of Game of Thrones.
Richard Madden.
Oh, thank you. Whoever played the other woman, whatever. Like, I've never seen them before.
All I'm saying is that I'm not going to go see it. If it has that cast that you just, I don't know. Paul Mescal's probably fine. Who are they going to who are they going to get for the thing? Is there any rumors on that one?
Probably like fucking John Cena or something. I don't know. I don't know who they have.
It'll be Baptista for sure.
No, double dipping in the MCU.
Yeah. Well, I guess we have mixed reviews on this one. We'll see. We'll see until we got a trailer. I can't imagine Adam Driver and Margot Robbie having a lot of chemistry together, but I thought the same thing about Adam Driver and Scarlett Johansson, and they were incredible together. So I don't know. We'll see. And that's enough talk fantasy news. Let's do a fucking Mount Rushmore. How about that?
Let's do it.
This week, we're doing the Mount Rushmore of magic systems. So we're going to do a snake draft of our favorite magic systems. It can be video games, movies, books. I imagine most of these will be books, but I guess my list is kind of up in the air. There is no definition of what best magic system means. It's kind of just up to the individual person, whatever we like most, whatever we think is the strongest, if we like just a specific aspect of it, whatever it can, whatever you want it to be. That's what it can be. Who should go first? Chris, why don't you go first? We'll do Chris, sure, Zach, me, and I'll turn.
Okay.
Sounds good. Okay, so I'm first. Wow, what a deal. Who should I pick for my magic system? The best magic system in the entire world. Wow, I have the number one pick. What should I pick?
Best or like favorite?
I'm going to pick the Force.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I'm picking the Force.
You...
It's probably the most well-known.
Bitch.
It's like the biggest in terms of reach, you know. Star Wars is probably the biggest, maybe other than maybe like maybe Harry Potter, the biggest fantasy story out there. So it's just a nice trophy to put on my shelf, you know. I got the Force in my Mount Rushmore, so that's my pick.
All right, we're actually going to change up the order. I'm going to go first, and then Chris will go second. That was my number one pick. I thought that was going to be kind of a dark horse. I didn't think you guys were going to think about that. So, as a magic system.
It was one of the it was one of the last ones I wrote down. So it did take me a while to think of it, but yeah.
Fuck. Well,
all right, Chris, Zach, you're up.
Chris wins the draft. Damn.
Yeah, I'll do another easy one. I'll do Harry Potter.
Nice. Nice. Another one I almost forgot to write down.
Harry Potter is an interesting magic system because it kind of seems like you can just do whatever the fuck you want, but no one ever does whatever the fuck they want. They just have 12 spells they do.
Very soft, but the appeal of it is like you went to school with Harry, so you can kind of, you saw the potions class, you did everything with him, so you got to like learn the magic with him, I guess.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah, that was the coolest part. You got to see them actually learn it. Love that.
Yeah.
All right. For my first pick, I'm going to do Last Airbender. It's not technically magic, but I love this. And it's my favorite debate to have with people of what element they'd be a bender for.
I'd call it magic. You wouldn't call it magic?
Yeah. It's definitely magic. It's not natural.
It just doesn't feel like magic, you know? I don't know why, but it just doesn't. But it definitely is. Okay, my second pick is going to be King Killer Chronic. No, Mistborn. It's going to be Mistborn.
Mm. Ooh. Okay.
And my main reason for that is I love that it's a limited resource. Like, you can't just make it out of your body. Like, you have to have something to use it. And sometimes you run out of that and you're fucked. And it adds a lot of dynamic aspects to the books.
Well, and as far as the three we've picked so far, it's definitely the most hard magic system here. Like, there's a lot of really rigid rules so that you can't get around. Like you said, when you run out of ATIM, you're out of ATIM. When you run out of pewter, you're out of pewter. You can get more if you have it. But once you're out, you're out. There's no, you're not going to tap into some secret ATM thing in the middle of your body.
Maybe.
But anyways, yeah. The hard magic system, the first one pick.
And damn straight. All right, Zach.
All right, this is tough. I guess I'll pick the Emperor's Soul.
Nice.
Ooh, good one. It's like the soul stamping. Just how exact it would be with like carving a stamp. And you really have to understand the person or the being or even objects. So that short story was like really well done.
Almost like a science more than a magic system.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I think that's a good one.
All right, well, I'll just take Stormlight, too. I'm just going classic here, I guess. I'm surprised this hasn't been taken yet. Brandon's his biggest magic system, probably. He's done a lot of thinking in. It's really expansive. It goes into a lot of different things. Very well thought through. Just a good magic system in general from our guy, B. Sandy. And then I'll take King Killer as well. I love the King Killer magic system. I probably actually should have taken this before Stormlight, just a little farther down on my physical list, so I didn't see it first. But really, one of my favorites, just the way that Patrick talks, whether he describes sympathy and that he uses it as a literary device to further the plot is really fun. And then so that's like a really hard magic system. And then he sprinkles in the naming too, which is a very soft magic system, more of a woo-woo type magic system. So I like that he has both. He has his cake and he eats it too. King Killer. Those are my two picks. Zach, you're up.
Nice. Yeah. Jeez, this is getting tough. I think I will do Wheel of Time.
Oh.
No. I'll do Wheel of Time.
Okay.
I forgot to write this one down. I forgot about this magic system completely.
About Wheel of Time? I was almost nervous when I was talking about Wheel of Time, the TV show. Pre-pod.
I spark something.
That's a kind classic, of cool.
Really.
Yeah. I mean, with like the kind of, I guess, gendered magic system. It's pretty cool how you can tap into different things. It's like the wheel itself in general is a pretty cool concept.
Yeah, I like the weaves and how it all kind of works together like that.
Different charges and
everything repeats.
Yeah, it was definitely sucked me in like faster than most magic systems do, but it also gets pretty boring when you're in like book six and you're like, all right, someone do something else with the magic. It's just like Rand does kind of literally whatever the fuck he wants with the magic, and everyone else has these like very strict rules with it. And so it's
like a slow burn. Like, you don't learn a lot about it. It's like till book three or four that you finally kind of understand the magic system, and then they beat you over the head with it a million times over and over and over again. Like, the amount of times that they're like, it's like a flower blooming. I'm like, gosh, they must have written that 1,000 times in those books.
You gotta let the river run through your body or whatever they say.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Brandon. You got two picks here. How are you gonna end it out?
This is tough. All right. The first one's gonna be the Skyrim, so the Elder Scrolls magic system.
Oh, nice.
That happens in Skyrim. So there's five different magics. You can do alteration, conjuration, destruction, illusion, and restoration. And you also have like the dragon spells, which are very cool too. Or the shouts, I guess they're called. All of that is just it just makes for such fun gameplay. You could have one different magic in each hand, so you can have like two different spells going and like have them work together. And you can really just like change the game depending on what kind of magic system you go with. So I love that one.
Nice.
The last one is going to be the Titans in Attack on Titan. That's nice. Gonna be my last magic system. Just didn't see it coming when I first started watching the show. And the first person, like, you find out that it's like a person that turned into a Titan. You're like, what the fuck?
Very well done in terms of like giving you info on the magic system.
Yeah. They give you all the details. Yeah. And it's just cool that it's like, it can be good, it can be bad. So you can lose control. You can like really hurt yourself. Like there's just a lot of different like aspects of it that I thought was really interesting and led to like a good show. So yeah, those would be my last two.
Sidebar. Did you watch the special yet?
I nice. Did. It was all right. They kind of made a lot of what's his bucket dying. And it was kind of like, yeah, wasn't he already like 3/4 dead anyways? Like who?
Yeah, I'm kind of wondering where they're going with the end of this. Seems like it might kind of end with a fart instead of a bang. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's kind of how I'm feeling too. But it was still entertaining. It was good to have it back for, you know, like an hour long episode or whatever that was. So that was nice.
For sure. All right, Zach, what do you got? Last pick.
All right. I think I'm going to do it. I think my last pick is going to be Fairly Odd Parents. Magic system.
Oh my gosh.
Probably good the most fun. Yeah, the most good fun pick. Magic system there is.
Where you can literally do
anything. Yep, you can do whatever you want.
That's fun. It didn't even cross my mind. I thought you were gonna pick Jade. Surprise.
Oh, it was on my list. That was on my list.
Yeah, it's on my list too, but I don't think I'm gonna pick it.
Man, we really need like a Fairly Odd Parents like college years for adults and get like what he's doing, what wishes he's making in his college years, because that'd be a lot of fun to have Fairly Odd Parents.
Funny you should ask.
What?
They made like a live action sitcom where like, he's like the dad and like his kids who have. Did? What do you mean who? Nickelodeon did or Paramount Plus? It's like a live action sitcom.
You're kidding me.
No. Why did they think live action would be a good choice for that?
This must not be.
It's Google live action Fairly Odd Parents.
Dear Lord.
Yeah, and he's like the dad or like the uncle. And like his niece or daughter has like the Fairly Odd Kids.
Or did they get Drake to be?
Oh no! Yeah, I thought I was just about to ask.
This was after Drake got canceled.
Holy shit!
Wait, it's not Drake. The one that came up for me is Drake.
No, do like the live action Drake. TV show.
Oh, I'm looking at the Fairly Odd movie.
The Fairly Odd Parents Otter.
Yeah, still?
Fairly Otter.
Fairly Otter Parents.
Ew. Well, that's enough of that. I think I might go to my next pick. I do like your pick, Zach, with the Fairly Odd Parents. I think that's a fun pick.
Hey,
I'm going to go with Naruto.
Naruto
is going to edge out Jade from the Jade City Legacy series for me. You know, it's not a super well-fleshed-out magic system, and now there's a new series called Boruto that's making it even more I don't know, just like the magic system doesn't mean a lot anymore, but the show means a lot to me, and I really liked the jutsu and how it progressed to its conclusion in the Naruto show itself. So I'll take that last as my final pick.
Oh man, fuck, I should have done that. Was a good last pick. I should have done Dragon Ball Z. Fuck.
Yeah, I thought about that one too. Yeah, when I thought of Naruto, I was like, oh, maybe DBZ. But I do like the magic system. I think the magic system in Naruto is better. DBZ is much more just I yelled louder than you, so I'm more powerful than you type of a thing, which is fine. You know, I love DBZ. I'm not trying to talk shit, but
I mean, I haven't watched it since I was like 12, so I don't know how I feel about it now. But back then, I was big into it. So
yeah,
we left a lot.
Oh, for sure.
On the table.
Some honorable mentions, like we said, Jade, Warbreaker, Hunger of the Gods, Lord of the Rings, we didn't pick.
Yep. Elantris, Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones. Well,
Game of Thrones is tough, though, because we have no idea what the actual magic system is. Yeah.
I almost picked it. I was torn between that because I kind of like that, where it's like, are these prophecies actual magical prophecies, or is it like made up? Yeah. Like, are any of these religions correct?
And stuff. There's definitely dragons. There.
Yeah. I mean, the Targaryens had something. Those priests. His dark materials.
Mm.
That magic system's kind of dumb. What else do we?
Oh, RuneScape.
Lord of the Rings is also pretty hard because it's like we don't have a ton of understanding of what they can do, like the wizards. Yeah. So,
well, World of Warcraft.
RuneScape would have been a good pick.
Yeah.
D&D. Yeah. Right. I never played RuneScape myself. But.
Yeah, me neither.
Any other honorable mentions before I read through what we got here?
Hit it.
Mm-mm. All right. So, Brandon, Avatar The Last Airbender, Mistborn, Skyrim, and Attack on Titan. Zach, Harry Potter, Soul Stamping from Elantris, Wheel of Time, and The Fairly OddParents. And then I had The Force, Stormlight, the Kingkiller Chronicles, and Naruto. So
That's a good matches. List.
Yeah, Chris, solid list.
Chris, I think you won that one. That was a good four combo.
It's hard to lose when you get the Force, you know.
Yeah,
it's a pretty good pick for magic system there.
Well, they did.
Harry Potter.
They did nerf. They nerfed the Force by adding in midichlorians, so you did get a couple points docked there. True. But
I'll take that dock.
Yeah, for sure.
I think Kingkiller is actually probably my favorite, like personally. Like reading about it, I just really like how it's written. I think it's well defined. I like a hard magic system if it's done well.
And it takes a second to like understand. Like when they first do it, you're like, "What the fuck is happening?" But then you learn about the fishery. What's it called?
Artificery.
Yeah.
Artificing,
and then you learn about the naming and all that, and then it gets really cool and like fleshed out. Yeah.
I'll just never forget this scene. It's one of my favorite scenes in a book I've ever read, when Quoth is stabbing that dead body while they're attacking the camp. I just a masterclass in magic system writing and payoffs, like earning your magic system, and in an absolutely very cool way. I loved it.
Well, it's also super cool because early on in that book, they talk about whatever that mythical character is, whatever the great, I can't remember his name, but they talk about him being able to call lightning down, and that was like his big thing, and then Quoth actually does it, and you're like, shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, good list, good chat, bad execs of the studios. Good talking to y'all today. I think that's everything that we have. If you haven't subscribed to our Twitter and Instagram that we very rarely use, then do that and you'll get one tweet a week.
Let's go. Yeah,
at least follow us on Spotify. It's the least you can do, you freeloaders. But we appreciate you listening, and we'll be back again next week, hopefully, if Zach and Chris learn how to read. So
we'll see.
Thanks again. And as always, do not forget to do side quests.